I used to work at my dad's restaurant when I was in my later teen years. It was just a regular local place, but was open until 2 a.m. every night. During high school, I would only work after school until 8, but once I graduated, I started working the closing shifts to save up money for college. The restaurant would be surprisingly busy at night, all the way up until closing. Mostly, it was just people picking up online orders, but sometimes groups of friends would come in and hang out at one of the tables while they ate. I definitely preferred working at night, though, as I would be the only one there and didn't have to listen to my dad bossing me around. Anyways, after 6 months of working nights, things started to get pretty weird. It was almost closing, around 1:45 a.m., and I was in the back cleaning when I heard the door ring. I finished up what I was doing and made my way to the front counter. There were two young men who looked really tired. One of them came up to the counter while the other one stood at one of the tables.
"Our dining room is closed for the night, but I can still take a small order if you want it for takeout."
The man at the counter just stared at the menu and didn't say anything. I stood there uncomfortably as the man shifted his gaze to behind me, as if he was inspecting the place. A few seconds later, the man by the table quickly walked out and the other guy followed. It was definitely the weirdest encounter I'd probably had, and I couldn't really think of any reasonable explanation. I kind of just assumed that they were planning on robbing me, but then decided otherwise for some reason. The next morning, I told my dad about it, and he said I could start locking the doors at around 1:45 for the next few days. Another week went by with nothing unusual before it happened again. I had a customer picking up an order around 1:30, and almost as soon as he left, one of the men from last week walked in. It was the one that was standing at the table, and I noticed right away that he was wearing the same exact clothing as last time. However, this time he came up to the counter. He looked me in the eyes for a second, and then asked me if I could help him jumpstart his car. The way he said it was really creepy, and it was very obvious that there was something else going on here.
Sorry, I have to stay in the restaurant during my shift."
His face immediately shifted into a frown. He said it would only take a minute, and no one would know that I left. At this point, I knew something was very off, and I started to panic a little bit in my head. He started making his way back to the door, gesturing me to follow him. I honestly wasn't sure what to do, and was really freaking out, but my fight response was starting, and my adrenaline was pumping. It's worth mentioning that I'm not really that big of a guy at all, and this man was much larger than me. Plus, I was pretty confident that the other guy was nearby too, probably ready to jump me if I didn't comply. But I figured I was screwed either way, so I might as well try to fight. I grabbed a pair of scissors we had behind the counter and stood my ground. The man turned around again once he reached the door, and this time he looked angry and demanded that I followed him. At that same instant, a loud bang came from behind me, followed by the back door slamming open. I ran to the back, and as soon as the guy saw me, he bolted right back outside. I turned around quickly and ran back to the front counter, but the other guy had left as well. I obviously called the police afterwards and gave them the security footage, but it was pretty low quality and hard to make out any identity from them. Anyways, I'm still not really sure why they didn't just attack me and rob the place, but my best guess is that they were just trying to rob the store without harming anyone, so as soon as they saw I was gonna fight, they ran. Those two could have easily taken me down and made the situation much worse, so I'm glad it didn't turn out that way. I lived in a small apartment for most of my 20s, as it was all that I could afford since I lived alone. My complex was small and only had 6 total apartments in it. Most of the people living there were older and retired, and kept to themselves. I actually liked the fact that I didn't have to interact with any of them every time that I needed to go in or out of the complex, as I'm usually in a rush or just not in the mood to socialize. Anyways, I lived on the top floor, and the room across from me had an old couple living there for almost 2 years before they moved out. I never talked to them, so I didn't really care, to be honest. But several months go by before someone new moves in, and another 2 weeks went by before I actually met them. I was getting ready for work one morning and preparing my packed lunch when I hear the neighbor's door open. I didn't think much of it until another minute went by and I realized that I never heard the door close. I finished getting ready and put my shoes on, then opened my door to leave. I immediately noticed that the neighbor's door was still open, and a tall man in his 40s or 50s was standing right outside the door facing me. He smiled and introduced himself. I faked a short smile and told him my name, then said I had to go to work and began walking past him. But as I started down the stairs, he asked me to come in for a little bit and have breakfast with him. This was really weird, as I had just told him that I needed to go to work. But I just said sorry and continued down the stairs and out of the complex. While I was at work that day, I thought about how strange the interaction was. Thankfully, when I got back home, I was able to get into my apartment without any interactions. But the next morning, I woke up to a knock at the front door. I was really annoyed because I had work today and now I was up early, but I quickly got dressed and opened the front door. My neighbor was there, but strangely, he was standing right in front of his open door again. He asked me to join him for breakfast again, to which I obviously declined and told him in a more aggressive manner to not knock on my door so early. The man didn't seem very happy about my answer and just kind of stood there. Then he said that I didn't have to leave for work for a while and I had enough time to eat with him. I knew that there was something wrong with this guy, as there was a lot about that response that was creepy. I firmly said no and then backed away and closed my door, making sure to lock it. Again, the more I thought about this guy, the more creepy and disturbing the interaction seemed. The rest of the day went by as usual though, and I got home around 6. I made some dinner and watched a movie, then got ready for bed around 11. I laid in bed for a while, thinking about my creepy neighbor and wondering what to do about it. I decided that if anything else happens, I'd contact the owner of the complex and have him talk to the guy. Then I leaned over and turned off my lamp and tried to fall asleep. But a few minutes later, I heard the neighbor's door creak open. I waited silently, listening to what the guy was doing, but I couldn't hear anything else. Again, though, I never heard the door close. I was pretty nervous, unsure of what the man could possibly be doing this late at night. Eventually, though, I drifted asleep due to not hearing any further noises for over an hour. I'm not sure how long I slept before a loud knock at the door woke me up. But these knocks didn't come from my front door. They were at my bedroom door. I shot up, completely terrified, and turned on the lights. The only thing I had to defend myself with was a small screwdriver on my nightstand. I grabbed it and stood next to my bed, shaking in fear, before picking up my phone and calling 911. When they arrived at the front door, I quickly got out of my room and opened it. I was surprised the door was even shut, but I told the officers everything and all about my suspicions of the neighbor. Unfortunately, though, there was no real evidence of a break-in, and they couldn't do much at all. I knew what I heard was real, though, and I did not feel safe in my apartment anymore. I called my sister later that day, and she agreed to let me stay at her place for a few days. Those days went by quicker than I hoped, though, and I started driving back to my apartment on Saturday evening. I tried to stay calm, assuring myself that the guy had given up by now, and everything would be okay. I pulled into the parking lot and made my way into the building. The sun had just set, so the staircase was dim. I slowly made my way up, trying to stay quiet as to not let my neighbor know that I was coming up. Once I reached the top, I saw his door was closed and I got a big sense of relief as I quickly made my way through my door and locked it behind me. I dropped my bag in the hallway and turned on the lights as I turned the corner into my living room. I jumped back screaming as the man was sitting right on my couch staring at me with a wide, awful smile. I sprinted out of the entire complex and into my car, then called the police again and waited for them in a nearby parking lot. When they arrived about 10 minutes later, we drove up to the complex and they went into the apartment while I waited by my car. Surprisingly, they came out just a minute later with the man in handcuffs. They said he was still sitting on the couch and that they also found a small knife in his pocket. The most disturbing part of this whole situation, though, was that when he was questioned, he admitted to breaking in 3 separate times, and I only knew about the 2 incidents, which meant that at one point he was hiding in my apartment, probably watching me without me even knowing. I have a little Jack Russell dog named Maggie, and she has a lot of energy, so when we go for walks, it's not uncommon for them to spread to the 2-hour mark. This particular day, I got home from work around 5:30, and the sun doesn't usually set until 6:30 or 7. Almost immediately after walking through the door, I put her leash on and quickly changed, and then we headed out. The walk went as usual, as Maggie just took me in whichever direction she wanted to walk in. Things didn't start to take a turn until about an hour in, when the sun was almost fully down, and unfortunately for me, I had walked further than I'd realized. If you take your dog for long walks, you know how easy it is to zone out, especially if your dog rarely stops to sniff. We had walked in a direction I had taken normally, but the particular street I was on was unfamiliar, but I still knew the general direction home. I started to turn around, but Maggie was standing still, and then she began whimpering softly, and that's when I saw it. Through the soft light of the sunset, I could make out a huge coyote staring at us in the middle of the street. It was roughly the size of a golden retriever, with matted fur, and with its mouth partially opened, you could see its disgusting sharp yellow teeth. I knew exactly what it wanted. I picked Maggie up and started walking the opposite direction. I was a bit fearful, but for some reason I thought it would just go away. I didn't know these streets very well, but what I did know was that I had to keep moving. As I quickly continued, the coyote slowly followed, keeping its distance still. But the darker it got, the more scared I became, and after walking down random neighborhood roads in the darkness for a while, I came to the horrifying realization that I was lost. All the turns had messed with my sense of direction, and I had no idea which way to go. Through the darkness, I could now see the glowing eyes of the beast, and could now hear it yipping and howling. As I walked further through the dark neighborhood streets, every few minutes another set of glowing eyes would appear behind me, and even more, louder howls. I could tell they were getting closer too. I was absolutely terrified at this point, trying to hold back my tears as I was panicking and fearing for both mine and my dog's life. Every once in a while, I'd pass a streetlight and look behind me, revealing the entire pack walking slowly with their heads down, watching my every move. After almost 45 minutes of being followed, I began tiring, and I knew I was far from the safety of my home. Maggie began whimpering louder too, which made me even more emotional as I knew that she was aware of what may soon happen. The howling and yipping became more frequent, growing louder and closer. I looked back one more time to see all of their eyes staring at me from only 30 to 40 feet away. But suddenly and strangely, they all began to separate, moving to the sides of the road. A few moments later, a small car slowly makes its way between the crowd of coyotes and stops right next to me. A lady rolls down her window and asked me if I needed help. I was so thankful for her and told her to please take me home. There are almost no circumstances in which I would willingly get into a stranger's car, but I really had no other choice. The lady was really nice and seemed terrified for me. I was crying at this point, knowing I had just been moments away from a grueling attack. She kindly dropped me off at my house, which was almost 20 minutes from where she picked me up. I live in a nice neighborhood, one where you don't have to worry about your house being broken into or carjackings. The only growing problem in our neighborhood, and many neighboring ones as well, is coyotes. It's been a few years since this incident happened to me. And as time went on, there became more and more showing up around town, getting bigger and stronger. The public knows to be cautious, especially in parks where there are tons of trees and places for them to make home. Signs were put up letting people know of the popular areas where anywhere between 3 and 20 have been spotted. There have been news stories coming out, such as groups of coyotes leaping over fences and taking small dogs, and larger animals being found torn apart in kids' parks. Very sad stories, and some even a little scary. But you never think of coyotes as being in immediate danger until you're being followed in the middle of the night by a pack of the hungry and merciless.